Jesus, I thank you so much for Omodachi. Thank you for the preparation that he's done. Lord, I thank you that you've been speaking to him about what you want us to hear this morning. And I pray the words that he says, Lord, that they would contain gold for us, Lord, today. I pray bless us and strengthen us and help us in our faith through what he's got to say for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go for it.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Feels great to be in church this morning. I think on my own, there's not so much to expect from this high school looking kid, you know. I'm looking like a high school kid this morning. I'm happy with it anyway. But I am sure that the Lord is going to speak to us. And I have the burden to speak to us this morning about someone very popular. And when you have to deal with a popular Bible character, I want to suppose your job is easy because everyone knows a little bit about the person you're talking about. So I'll be talking this morning about Solomon, and he's a very popular king amongst the kings of Israel. So we'll be, you know, dealing with his stories, learning from it, and trusting God to be inspired by the things God was able to do through the life of Solomon. For those of us who might or who know Solomon already, you will know that Solomon is the third king of Israel. There are so many things everyone can remember about Solomon, like Andy did last Sunday when he talked about David. It was really amazing what comes to mind when the name David is mentioned. Everyone was bringing things up, and I think the same applies to Solomon as well. When you talk about Solomon, there are many sides we remember about him. Some people probably remember the so many wives and concubines. Others will remember the wisdom. Others will remember the wealth. And others will remember other things as well. But this morning, we're going to take a kind of summary view of this man called Solomon. And we want to look at Solomon and ask ourselves a question. Was he a wise king or was he not? You know, sometimes when you take a second look and a closer look, it might change your opinion about something. Praise God. Let's look at what we've got in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 24. Andy read it last Sunday, so since it's a progression from there, I'm going to be reading verse 24 of 2 Samuel 12:24. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went into her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. Hallelujah. You know, this was how Solomon was born. Solomon was born to Bathsheba and David. And we know from the last series who Bathsheba was, the wife of a dedicated soldier called Uriah. And David took her, you know, with underhanded means, took her forcefully, I would say, arranged for the killing of the man, and sent the man with the very letter that contained instructions that killed him. And the man was so faithful and committed that he didn't open the letter to see what it contained. He delivered it, and that was his death sentence, delivered by his own hands. And it was a really very terrible story. When the child was born, you know, David did everything possible in prayer, laboring for the child to live, but the child died. And after the child died, Bathsheba continued to remain as the wife of David, whom he acquired by killing her husband and then taking her in as his wife. And the child that was born to them after Bathsheba became his wife was Solomon. So Solomon actually didn't come from a background that is really very sweet to talk about. And if you understand how some of these things play at times, a child from such a background, with such a story, in a polygamous family, would feel very disadvantaged in the family line. You know, and Israel is an honor and shame culture, so there's a lot of thing of shame in his background. But irrespective of that, God was able to make something out of Solomon. Now, who is Solomon? Solomon was the wisest man ever who lived. He was the third king of Israel. And you know, because of when he was born about the seventh son to David. He wasn't the first. Amnon was first, and then came Absalom and others, and then Solomon was about the seventh child that was born to, seventh son that was born to David. He almost didn't stand a chance as far as the throne was concerned, because there was Amnon, there was Absalom, and there was Adonijah and others who were very much established, older than him, and could almost call the shot. If you saw and read the story of what Absalom did, he takes someone who could wield some influence within the king's, you know, circle to have done that. The same thing happened with Adonijah when he tried to make himself king, because what happened was like this: David became really very old. And because he was old and couldn't do much, his sons started, you know, jostling for the throne, like what happens in every royal family. You should be familiar with such stories by now, I believe. You know, people jostling for the power, wanting to grab. Absalom was one of them. And then after Absalom literally sent David fleeing and chasing after his father, wanting to kill him because of the throne. And when all of that was, you know, brought to an end, came Adonijah, when the man was really much more very old. And then while that was going on, Nathan the prophet, whom God have established over Israel as at that time, on the day Adonijah was declaring himself king, he's got the chief of army staff with him by name Joab, and he's got some priests with him, you know, and they were celebrating his emergence as king. And then, you know, Nathan went on to Bathsheba and spoke to Bathsheba about the need for Bathsheba to take a step, because God had already spoken about Solomon and not any one of those who were just living for the throne. And what happened on that day was that when Bathsheba got in to have the conversation with David, Nathan also stepped in and confirmed to David what the Lord had said concerning Solomon. Now, the name Solomon carries a lot. Aside all these stories, when this child was born and he was called Solomon, there were things the name conveyed and conferred on him. The name Solomon is a version of Shalom, which translates to mean peace. David, in his lifetime, rarely had peace. If he wasn't at war with Goliath, he would be at war with some of the adversaries of Israel. If he wasn't at war with one of the adversaries of Israel, he would be at war with the family of Saul. If he wasn't at war with the family of Saul, his own son would be chasing after his life. If he wasn't, at war with his own son, then he is trying to keep his house in order, because his children were killing one another with the slightest opportunity. So he rarely had peace. But this young man was born, and his name was called Solomon, which means peace. And little will you wonder about that God gave him peace literally all his life, until about the end part, after a lot of things have happened that will make us question the character called Solomon. Now, coming to Solomon again, when he was born, he was taken to the priests, to Nathan the prophet, and Nathan also conferred a name on him. Nathan called him Jedidiah, which translates to mean beloved of the Lord. Also, his mom, theologian, said, call Solomon the name, the pet name, Lemuel, which means belonging to God. So everywhere Solomon turned after his birth, there was name conferred on him, and we all understand that name has a lot to do with destiny. God kept speaking about the life and destiny of Solomon. And when he was made king, things began to happen. But before then, I would like for us to just look at who Solomon was. Can we turn to 1 Kings 1:13-14? What kind of person was Solomon? What kind of young man was he before he was made king? 1 Kings 1:13-14. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, did thou not, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I will also come in after thee and confirm thy words. This was the prophet speaking to the mother of Solomon to engage the king for Solomon's enthronement. Because if that wasn't done at that make of time and Solomon would have died, then his brother Adonijah would have, held onto the throne as king. Now, what kind of character was Solomon? So much that the prophet had this level of confidence on a young man. What testimony had Solomon at this time that could make, the prophet, who was very close to his father, who was providing spiritual direction for Israel as at that time, have so much confidence in Solomon? It translates to mean that Solomon would have been a young man of a good character. It would have taken a good character, a sound character, a character that bears testimony to the glory of God, for a prophet to have arisen and put his weight behind a ruddy young man. The prophet would have been left without a doubt of the kind of person that Solomon was and has proven to be before taking such a step. It wasn't just a step taken at the instance of God had spoken. It is a step taken at the instance of God has spoken, God has confirmed, now we can act. That was the kind of step that was taken. And, at the end of the day, Solomon's life began to unfold after this enthronement, you will see some of these things come into play. He wasn't like his brothers who wanted the throne by all possible means. Solomon never did an act or took an action that, by any means that he was stretching for the throne, just like his brother Absalom and Adonijah were doing. He stayed in his place, being the king's son. He stayed in his place, allowing God to do what God wants to do. If God has spoken about him, he stayed in his place, believing God, that God is able to bring to pass the very things which he had said. He wasn't stretching forth to grab with the arm of flesh. He wasn't going scheming and dividing, within the king's rank, hoping to become king himself, just like his brothers were doing. And if you know the family of David, there were so many stories there that really weren't good. An elder brother, first son of the family, raped a virgin younger sister and threw her out on the street. And her own sibling staged a party, invited the elder brother, and got him killed right in his own house before the rest of the family members. And went after his dad, wanting to kill his father also. And one of those terrible things that really happened when David was sent packing and running for his life from his palace, his son took his wife and, you know, had intimacy with them on the rooftop for everyone to see. That wasn't a very good story. So David had sons of all kinds of character that weren't very good. But none of such thing was ever mentioned about Solomon before this occasion where he was brought in to be made king. I must say, with all the influence within his reach, with all the powers within his reach, with the fact that his mom was one of the dear wives of the king, Solomon would have obtained a very good report to have been made a king. He really have tried. He deserves a pat on the shoulder to say to him, well done, that you haven't misbehaved. Hallelujah. So, he was made king after all. 1 Kings chapter 3. His story spans a lot of chapter. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, when he became king, what could we see about his person? 1 Kings chapter 3, and I'll read just verse 1, and then we talk about Solomon. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high place. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I will give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shewed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Hallelujah. Good presentation before God, and hear what God said to this young man. And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon has asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither have asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. Hallelujah. He asked of something which pleased the Lord. But before then, what did we notice about Solomon? His devotion to God. He became king, and the first thing he began to do was to increase his devotion to God. It was such an honorable thing in Israel to see a king who was going after God. A king who was maintaining a strong devotion to God. He went, left his comfort zone, left the place of the palace, and went to the high place where Israel sought after God. And he spent time there to seek the God of his father. So he was a man of strong devotion to God. And the Bible bore witness by the Spirit of God speaking in verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. Hallelujah. What a reputation by God. What a testimony by God. That the Holy Ghost could bear a witness that Solomon wasn't a lover of the throne, a lover of the silver and gold that he wakes up to receive, a lover of the wining and dining that goes on in the palace. Amongst all these other options, we saw a Solomon, young man, full of life, and the Bible bore witness that and Solomon loved the Lord.
Amen. Come on.
What will be the witness of God concerning what you love? For Solomon, the Holy Ghost said he loved the Lord. And when Solomon loved the Lord, he turned out to be a seeker of God. In verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. He didn't wait. He went after God. He pursued hard after God. He went after God with all his heart, with all his might, with all his strength. He wanted an experience with God. He wanted an encounter with God. He wouldn't settle for being a king. Yes, everyone jostled for this position. I'll count myself lucky to have got it at last. That didn't satisfy his passion, because his passion was to lay hold on God and to walk with God before Israel. He was a seeker of God. That was Solomon. And Solomon also showed himself at this time of his life to be minded about God's kingdom. After all these things, making the sacrifices and the prayers, and God was moved, and the Bible says, in that night in Gibeon, God appeared to Solomon, and God asked him a question as though we're to have given him a blank check. What do you want from me? Oh my goodness. If the Most High will ask me, what do I want from him? Knowing that he has the power to give me 1,000 cattle on the hill, to give me all of the silver and gold on the surface of the earth, what will I ask? That would have just been like Aladdin and the magic lamp. What will I ask if God were to show up to me and say, ask of me anything? What will I ask? You know what I will ask? I will only ask what matters in my judgment. The only thing I will ask is what matters to me most in life. Solomon had that opportunity. And because he was a seeker of God, a devout servant of the Most High, he didn't ask for himself. He asked what was in the interest of God. He asked what was in the mind of God. He asked what God was concerned about. There was this testimony in 1 Corinthians when Paul was writing, he had this to say, that every man cares about their own things and no one cares about the things of God. That was the testimony of the Corinthian brethren. But Solomon, despite all, pursued God's interests. He knew the mind of God was with the people of God. He knew that God's concern is how to provide direction, leadership, and to wield godly influence over Israel. So he asked for a heart of wisdom and understanding to be able to do just that. And the Bible said that pleased the Lord. I wish one day after we have prayed, the Holy Ghost will tell us heavenly ratings of our prayer. And maybe just inbox you and say that was a 5-star prayer, that was a 3-star prayer. I think Solomon got it spot on like God wanted. And God was so pleased. And look at what God said. He said, because you have not asked for certain things. I don't know where God got this list of things, but they were interesting. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, hast not asked for thyself long life. Neither have thou asked for riches for thyself, you know, ask for life of thy enemies. These are things people ask God. It looks like God was checking the list of what people ask. People ask for riches, they ask for long life, they even go to God to ask for the life of their enemies. And God said, you didn't ask for any of this. God was that impressed. And God said, because you haven't asked for this, and you asked for what was in my heart for my people, I am going to add these other things unto you. Yeah. And that was why the Holy Ghost now said in the New Testament, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Sometimes we go after those things God should have added to us if we got it right with God. But Solomon settled down and got it right with God. And God gave him the other things. A person who is minded for the kingdom, a Christian who is concerned about God's interests, enjoys privileges and blessings that they don't deserve, that they don't even ask for. If you go after God's interests, God goes after your interests. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. The Bible says, if you seek him, he will also what? Show himself unto you. So if you are pursuing God's purpose, God's interest, what bothers God, God will also be about your business. Look at Solomon again. He asked for wisdom and God blessed him with that. And all he was doing with the wisdom God gave him as at this time of his life was to provide leadership for Israel, to solve their issues, to make sure that the people of God were living how God wants them to live. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, look at what Solomon went on to do. Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 6, the Bible says, and it came to pass 488 after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt, in the 40th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziv, which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. This was what his father wanted to do for God. Solomon went ahead without any waste of time. In his fourth year as king, he has started building the house of God. That's how much he cared about God. And he went on to build this house very tastefully. And in the New Testament, the Bible talks about the temple of God, which in the New Testament does not represent an earthly temple built by hands. The temple of God now represents the people of God. The Bible says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what Solomon was giving attention to in the Old Testament, wanting to get it right, wanting to make it beautiful and sparkling and golden, was a replica and a type of what God wants the New Testament Christian to be. To be holy, to be godly, and to be so, you know, pure that God will have no problem dwelling amongst his people. So Solomon gave lots of attention to that as at this time of his life. These were great things about Solomon, and I actually wish it continues like that. But that wasn't the trajectory of his life. At some point, other things crept in. 1 Kings 11 have this to say. Like I said, Solomon covers a vast place in the Bible. We just focused on his account in the Kings. There's so much in the Chronicles as well. Now, 1 Kings 11 verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. That wasn't a good report. Something was there in the life of Solomon. Something was growing while Solomon was growing in power and in influence. There was an aspect of his life that was growing and was gaining influence over him, and at this point dominated him. He got overcome by something he didn't deal with all these years in his journey. Strange women. Somehow, David's family had this thing about women. Amnon died because a woman was involved. Absalom committed murder because of something that has to do with the woman. In fact, their father David staged a murder because he wanted a woman so badly in his life. Adonijah, when Solomon became king, went to hold onto the horn of the altar, pleading for his life that the king do not take his life. And the king made a covenant to him and a promise that he won't take Adonijah's life if he remains a man of peace. But once David died, David had this virgin wife that was married to him at his old age, and the Bible says to keep him warm. I wonder how what that means. And she was such a beautiful young lady, the Bible attested to. And then Adonijah went to the mother of Solomon, Bathsheba, to ask for Solomon's permission for him to marry his father's ex. Come on, he's in his right mind. And that was the day he got killed. Solomon had an execution officer called Benaiah. He sent him, and his own brother was killed. A lady was involved. And when Solomon was going to marry, he went outside of the boundaries of the people of God into all the strange women that the word of God have said, do not marry. He allowed his emotion to becloud his judgment. He was ruled by emotion, not by the wisdom of the word of God. He didn't take the word of God that serious. And the implication of that, and the essence of the warning, was that these strange women have a way of turning away your mind from seeking after God, the God of Israel, to seeking after the gods of their lands. The Ammonites, the Amorites, and others have the gods. And after Solomon had built the temple for God, Solomon went ahead to as well build temples for each of these gods, of these women that he got married to. That was terrible. How did he get to this point? Something grew. Something gained influence. Something wasn't dealt with. Something wasn't handled. It would have been easy to handle if Solomon would have opened up and say, I have this thing for strange women. Maybe someone could have helped him. Maybe someone would have intervened if he had sought counsel. If he had sat with maybe Nathan to have a discussion, or with the priests to have a discussion, they could probably have guided him. But that thing grew. That thing enlarged. It became so much that Solomon couldn't control it. It gained influence over Solomon and made a wreck of such a glorious testimony that pleased God. God's heart was broken by the last days of Solomon. So much that God began to stir up trouble for Solomon, not the devil. If a Christian had a problem, as you expect, it's the devil causing the problem. But this time, because God was so unhappy with Solomon, so displeased with Solomon, God began to stir up rivalry and opposition to unrest and to unsettle Solomon. Maybe he was doing that so that Solomon could come back to him. Maybe he was doing that so that Solomon would have a rethink. And I'd like you to know that your trouble increases when you go far from God. If you pitch your tent far from God and you take the way out of grace, it's not usually a good testimony. So Solomon started as a wise king, did so well and obtained great testimony, but he lost them at the end of the day because something grew. And sometimes things grow. And he was talking about things that could just come in last time. Our situations may be different. The question is, what is growing in my life that have the capacity and have the power to quench the light of God in me if it is fully grown? What is going on in my life that if I allow it for the next 1 year, I won't be able to control it anymore? What is growing? Growth is powerful. Don't underestimate the power of growth. If you put a root in a rock and you allow it to grow, it can split the rock apart.
Yeah.
That's how powerful growth can be.
Yeah.
You may be handling it now, you may be feeling like in control, but I can assure you, you'll be at the mercy of it if it grows. The best time to deal with it is now. I wish Solomon dealt with it early enough. He would have maintained such a glorious testimony to the end. But sadly, he didn't. Strange women. Strange passions. Strange emotions. Strange and ungodly things that he admired, that he cherished. Come on. How many brides? He married so many wives and had so many concubines. What was he doing with all of those women? Something kept eating him up from the inside. Almost like he would just want to marry any lady that passes by. Almost he want to marry any lady within his sight. That was terrible. And then he started going after their gods, and the once wise man ended as a very unwise man. His testimony was rubbished, and the kingdom, because of his activity, got splitted afterwards. I like to end with this. The sad thing about iniquity is that it has a present effect which is damaging, and a future impact which is as well damaging. If we deal with it now, then we save the future. I pray God help us. Amen. Can we pray?
Yeah.
Something growing, can you ask the Lord? Lord, handle it for me. Is something gaining influence that shouldn't? What comes out of your mouth, does it glorify God? You may think, oh, that was just a bad word, a little bad word. The Bible said, catch for us the little foxes that spoils the vine. Can you ask the Lord to bring those things under the influence of Christ? Ask the Lord to help you. And he's going to pray for us. If there's any struggle anywhere, I'd like you to put your hand on your chest. Are you struggling with anger? Are you struggling with bitterness? Are you struggling with depression? Is there a struggle somewhere that eyes cannot see that is growing? This morning, God is able to come in and bring about deliverance and bring about rescue.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you put your hand on your chest? And Andy will pray for us this morning.
Jesus. God.